It's working? I need another box of tissues. Okay. Our project, Be'ez Hashem, is proceeding. Baruch Hashem, we have covered out of the original list of topics of Ehrlichkeit quite a few, but we still have a long way to go. Be'ez Hashem, I hope that the shiur survives the grueling work I'm putting you through. We talked about, just to recap, B'chusar Amana, standing behind a person's word, when it's the same shar, Nishtana Hashar, Sheri Yisrael Yasu Avla. We talked about Echa B'Pev, Echa B'Leib, which is in Yin of Hain Shel Chatzedek, and Mitzvah Priyas Balchov, that's based on that. We talked about Yisr to be Mazik in different sources, including the Rebbe Yonah that says it goes under Gzela. We talked then about Gezel Akum, Gnevus Akum, Tovus Akum, Uvedos Akum. We talked about in Hezek, Dinam of Garmi and Grumma, that's Chayim and that's Pata B'deyot of Chayim B'deyishamayim. And recently we were speaking about Ani Mahabuk Harara, that's called a Rasha, the difference between a Mekach Memkar and Metziah, things that you could get elsewhere or not, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and a Shliach that was sent to buy something and the sender relied upon him and then he sort of double-crossed him and ended up buying it for himself. He's Nikra Ramai. These are some of the topics that we've covered, Baruch Hashem. I'd like to now move on to a group of topics. Tonight will just be the beginning of this group. Of those things that are Asur Al Gezel Midivrehem, Mirabana Dika Isurim of Gezel, which B'der Klal, the Rabban Paskins, are not subject to collection, and that's not the subject that we're focusing on in these shurim, as far as when it does happen, when there's liability, but rather what an Erlich Yid has to be aware of to Firzach Erlich, to Inayeg, B'yashrus, properly with other people. And these things that come answered Midrabbanan as being Gezel, mean that they said that they considered to not be an Erlich Hazak for Yid to do, and there was Asur Midrabbanan, even though it doesn't actually comprise genuine Gezela to be Asur Midaraisa. The Rambam, on page 1, introduces this, which is the same words echoed in the Shulchan Aruch, which is going to appear on page 2, the same words of Rambam appear there. As a rule, in Chayshim Mishpat, more so than in other three Chalakam Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef is Mayrach in the Beis Yosef to explain the different Shittais of the Rishonim, but in the Shulchan Aruch itself, as a very strong rule, with exceptions, he just brings Lashon Rambam. Straight Rambam Lashon comprises most of the Chayshim Mishpat. And then he brings, you know, here and there, of course, there are differences, but very heavily he relies on the Rambam, even when he has a whole different discussion about topics and shitas in the Beis Yosef. And Shulchan Aruch will simply say Lashon Rambam, and then you do the rest of the research, read the Beis Yosef. I guess he expects that people learning Chayshim Mishpat are probably going to do suffice with just learning Shulchan Aruch. But anyway, Lashon Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila Perek Vav Halacha Vav is that Dvarim Harbi Asur Chachamim Mishum Gezel, things, many things that the Chachamim Asur because of Gezel, which means it's not Gezel Midraisa, it's not actually perpetrating Gzeila, taking something physically for something that actually belongs to someone else. He's going to be regarded as a gazlan. The conclusion of this paragraph of the Rambam, the last words that he says in Halacha Tezayin, is kol misha yesh b'yadu gazlan shebrayim eno yodzim yadu b'dayadim. These are not things that we're actually collecting bezin and making pay. We made more of an isra of it. It's an isra gzela more than a chiyuv of heshev as a gzela. But in terms of the isra of it, he is over. And if he does do it, he's over Aleihem, he's over now in Isdrabanan. And he has a dinner of Gazlam midivrehem. He has a therefore dinner of a Gazlam midivrehem. And as the next paragraph of the Rambam Hilchos Eidos is going to tell us, that therefore he's Pasul Eidos midrabanan, which means you can't call him up to be an aid the ksuva or the kedusha, whatever. If you need a kasher egg, you don't want a person like this because Mirabana he's possible. But that certainly tells us that these types of actions are not fitting for an erlich hayid in our pursuit of erlichai. These are things, therefore, that we have to avoid. Kagon, he starts the list. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin, we'll see that later, maybe. It's on the second sheet, but page 2. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin lists a longer list, but he over here focuses on two of them. And we're going to just focus on the second of those two. Kagon mafricha yadum masacha bekuvya. Now, mafricha yadum, there are two opinions in the Gemara what it means. One opinion is that it's really the equivalent of masacha bekuvya, which is a type of gambling, in which you're betting on a bird race, whether it be whatever kind of bird it might be, or a bird fight, or likewise a bull fight, or a dog fight, or any other such animals racing or fighting against each other, horse race in Pimlico, then that would be, that's the equivalent of Masacha Bekuvya. But another opinion of the Gemara says Mafricha Yainim is a completely different kind of a Gezel Drabanan, and that is that people have chicken coops or pigeon coops in which they just put out these nice attractive homes for these wild birds to settle in, nest, lay eggs, which I'll then go collect those eggs, or the young little chicklets, and that way I get free birds. But these are animals from the wild that fly in and fly out, and therefore they're never, it's not a chasam mishtameres, it's not a kinyan for the bialim. And mi'ikur adin is really hefker. But even so, mirabanan, I'm not allowed to go into your chicken coop and take it out, because since you set up that, we say, you know, respect the other person's space and don't go and take it. And therefore, even if I now send out my bird that somehow is able to attract yours, and it's a way that it could certain, I don't know, I have those the leader of the flock kind of quality to it. It knows the right kind of chirp and call to be able to get all the other birds to flock after it. Is one explanation. Another explanation is you send out a zocher to get in a cave or in a cave to get a zocher. That's very much more basic kind of attraction. So I'll send up my bird and go around the neighborhood, get all the other birds from all the chicken coop. They'll come following to mine. And I have a lot of birds right now in my chicken coop or my pigeon coop. So it's not actually stealing because those things never belong to the other people to start with. But Mirabanan, he's a gazlan. And then it talks about the Rambam, the details about when you do have these coops, how far they have to be from each other, and when you're allowed to let them, how you have to treat with them. That's very important for bird farmers. But us urban city boys, it's much less relevant. However, the second thing he talks about is Masacha Bekuvya. And that is something that goes on in urban areas, and in fact right now it's becoming more and more legalized, and you know, a lot of revenue that it creates, and there was a meeting last week about giving out, I don't know, $35 million from local area because of so much money is coming in from the slots. But anyway, Masacha Bekuvya. The question is, are we allowed to now participate in gambling, whether it be in slots, whether it be in buying a lottery, whether it be in a sweepstake, whether it be in a Chinese auction, and all these kinds of betting kind of situations in which you end up getting back more than you put in? Is there an isser over here of gezel midrabanan? That is the question. The issue, as we're going to see momentarily, is the shaila of gezel midrabanan, because people play to win and somehow think that I know how to pick the winning horse in advance, and therefore I put in whatever it costs. I've never been down there. I live pretty close, but never been down to Pimlico. I'm on the way to the hospital. But to burn the chametz, but the whatever, it's the same environment. So I don't know how much you have to buy a ticket for, but if you have, let's say I buy a ticket for $10 and you get to be able to make a bet on which horse, I figure I'm probably going to win because I'm a real smart horse picker at her.
That's my favorite young.
Oh, that'll be like Masacha Bekuvya. Okay, so I know how to throw the dice, or I know how to play the poker, or whatever other kinds of games. Let's see the Rambam describe some of the games that they play. Ketzad elo masachin be'etzim o betzroros o ba'atzomai sukiyot sebehem. They do, have different kinds of dice or chips or other toys that they play with. Vos and tenai be'nehem, and they make an agreement before him, whoever they're betting against. Shekol notzeh es chavera bozo has chayk, whoever wins this game, We'll have to pay in a certain amount. Or you put the money in the pot and winner takes all, and loser or all the losers lose their money, or it's split with the house. However, the rules of the game are played. Harei ze gezel midivrehem. We'll see soon that Rashi, Tos, other Rishonim explain it. A basic din of a smach to lo kanya is because I did this with a smach, with a some kind of reliance that I thought that I was going to be able to win, and I didn't really think I'm going to forfeit my money. Or most I thought maybe I'll play three or four times and I'll win in one of them. But when I almost lose my pants and everything, my shirt off my back, and I lose, and I never had dash for that, but now I'm stuck with it and I have to give up my money. So that wasn't done with a full heart, a full readiness to commit to give up that money. And therefore, if you're taking, the winner taking my money, the winner taking the loser's money, is somewhat taking money that the other person didn't give away with a full heart. And although mikra din, you know, that's the rules of the game, and that's and you, there's no backseas, and you have to, when you put it in, that's you know it. But on the rabbanical level, we say we don't consider that to be a fair, real, arm's length kind of a commitment and business transaction. And therefore, there's a concern that the person is taking the money that the other person didn't really give up fully, and is taking and stealing someone else's money. Rambam explains this a little bit differently.
If a guy goes and gambles and he has never won yet, can he be an aide because he never won?
Correct. Right. The issur is only when you take money.
You're going to provide a heter for dreidel
tonight. I don't want to leave over here. Maybe we'll just jump ahead, okay? I'll jump all the way to the end. The last piece on page 2, just to put that into context. A tshuva to Rivash. The same kind of similar tshuva echoes through Berei Poskim and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ramban Shulchan Aruch brings down a similar psak, and actually comes from Yerushalmi that has such a psak. The shaila is a person made a commitment, once and for all I'm going to stop gambling. Promised his wife, he promised his rav, he had no more gambling. And now he wants to be matir neder. So, of course, any spot Rav is going to say, you know, let me give you a muzer shmuzes. No more muzer shmuzes. It's an addiction. I'm going crazy. It hasn't been already 2 weeks. I haven't lost my money yet. I need to work. So, I really want to. So, the Rivash has this tshuva about, are you allowed to be matir neder? That person makes said not to make a not to be gambling anymore. Shlo lutzchei bekuvya. And he says, he writes back that a neder or a shua not to gamble anymore, you can't be mounted such a neder for a whole list of reasons. One of the reasons he says, where I underline, the fisha ain't material to elab shuas or shus. If you swear about not doing something that's optional, you could do or not do, right? You're going to diet, you're going to exercise, something like that. It's not a chiyuv, it's not an iser, it's something, yeah, that's your choice. That you could be mounted neder. Avo shua shenasis limnayim iser. If I make a shua that I'm not going to do a dvar iser, which there's a lacha that you could make a nishpoyim ala mitzvah to mezaris yourself, that I will do a mitzvah, I will learn Torah, or make a shua that I won't be over on something that a chas v'shalom person has a nisayin, a taiva too. So then, nishpoyim ala mitzvah zakayema, it's a mitzvah to make such a shua. Our shua shenas l'zlebnoyim iser, a material so. Uschay pekuvya, hine yesh bo yisura drabanan. The rabbanan said it's usur to gamble. I'm jumping ahead of ourselves to read this part over here. And a filler of sheish, which we'll see momentarily, is a machlekes tonai amarayim and a machlekes a paiskim, whether it's considered begezel midrabanan, as this discussion we're having right now. The sphere will have some deleka smachta bukovya, even according to that opinion, that it does not constitute a smachta. And when a person plays this game, he understands what he's committing to, and whatever he forfeits, he gives up fully. Mikol makom, listen to what he says, very strong words. Mechuar u'mesuav u'meshukatzu. It's a despicable and a to'eva, detestable and meshukatz and disgusting. It's a terrible, terrible habit. V'rabim chalalim hippil v'atzumun kol harugav. It has destroyed many lives, many families, many businesses, many people. It's destroyed people. And what? Yeah, it's the same vices are nothing new. Also, all the way back in Chazal, they already had to deal with this, and they said that Ematir, Machin Das Ramban, Rashba, the Dark Avosha brings in Yoradea, and Hilvus Nadarim, Right? So even according to what Rav Asher is saying, that even according to those that say that it's not an issue of asmachta and a gezel drabana doesn't constitute, it still is a terrible habit. Because you just start with one time won't hurt. Well, maybe two times. Well, I need to go one more time to the word on my back. And then that's how an addiction grows on a person. And yes, there are people that just do it extremely moderately. But a person could fall in to this instead of taivas of drinking or other such of a addiction. He has a taiva over here for the chemdas of mamain that consumes. I gotta win it big. I gotta get that jackpot. I've got to. And every Friday night he gambles away all the money he earns all week long. That's the way a lot of the inner city operates.
The Rebbe included this Rebush. Why?
What?
Why did the Rebbe include this Rebush?
To know that although we're talking about a machlekes, we're going to see a machlekes paiskim, whether it's mutter aser and whether in Mandarman Gemara, whether it's gezel or not gezel, or whether it's machta or not it's machta. But what this Rebbe is saying, but you should know that no matter what, according to everyone, even if it's not gezel, it's still a terrible destructive habit. So steer very clear of that. One question on a maybe the most parva way. Well, there's a shtickle mitzvah way, and then there's a parva way, and then there's the vice, a negative way. The mitzvah way is about sweepstakes and Chinese auctions that support mostos of all kinds that have all these types of programs, and you get all these real glossy magazines of 100 of things that you could win in different category for $5, $10, or whatever else. And then the middle category, and that is the most kosher of them all, because when the yid gives tzedakah, he does so unconditionally. Gemara says a person gives tzedakah hoping to merge Shem that his son should have refuah shlema. What happens? Chas v'shalom, the alternative. He doesn't say get his tzedakah. He gives tzedakah unconditionally, although he hopes in the schus alavai, but it's not contingent upon that. A goy gives tzedakah for that. If you don't give it to me, God, I'm going to hold this against you. Then I want my tzedakah back. That's a goyish cup. A yiddish cup is tzedakah is a tzedakah. And likewise, when a person buys a sweepstake or a Chinese auction or these kind of things from a maysad, he's doing it l'shem tzedakah, even though he would like to win. And the raya is that you shouldn't think that, no, I'm doing it because I really do win, because I look at all these nice pages, and, oh, I'd like to have this, I'd like to have this. Let's say I would give you the same kind of a sweepstakes or a Chinese auction from some kind of organization that you have no interest in supporting. The Save the Whales or the Boy Scouts of America or whatever else it is that you don't have any interest in, whatever it is, something you don't support. Right? I don't mind. They're welcome to Save the Whales, but I'm not going to give my money for that. Well, the Save the Whales group is going to now have this beautiful Chinese auction with glossy paper pages that you have 10 different categories. You can win 100 different things. Are you going to put money into that? The answer is no. So you're not doing it because, well, it's a good chance, and you're not doing it because you're gambling in interest. You're doing it because I want to support Mossad A, Tzedakah A, Yeshiva A, whatever it might be, that's running this. No, it's a little bit more exciting when you get some fun out of it, and maybe I'll win something. You know, some people have a good mazel. Fine. It makes it a little more enticing and attracting and exciting.
And it works.
Fine. And the Kol HaGavod, the Yeshivas prosper from it. We'll call it Gavagodol, right? But it's not given conditionally. When you're going to gamble against something, there's nothing, I'm trying to support you and I love you so much, I really want to give you money unconditionally, but this is the way I'll happen to do it with me. Maybe when I'm doing that with my son, I want to support anyway, so this is a way, not a good chinuch, that I want to be able to support him. When two people are gambling against each other, or I'm gambling against the casino or against the horse race, I'm doing it just purely because I want to be able to win, and I think I'm going to, however I think that, I don't know. And then you have the Shabbos Aspakta. So where the mitzvah kind of issue is not the big problem. And that the Birkei Yosef, the Chitah, in I'm going to mark down this Mar Mekaimos, but the Birkei Yosef in Siman Ayin Dal, because Achor brings down a bunch of Achorim that say that Avada, you are allowed to have these rabbis as Maisen B'chol Yom back then. It's not a new thing over here. Maisen B'chol Yom, Sha'osim Hagrala, I'll say Retaira, Pozapel, Masafsev, or Megillah, or some other such kind of big prizes, and they raise money for some kind of stock up because everyone wants to get this Megillah's Esther, and everyone puts in $5 into it, and soon you have 5,000, and it only cost me 1,000 to buy it, so now I have $4,000 profit for stock up. A lot of Chorim that the Birkei Yosef, which dates it back a couple hundred years, say that's ma'aseh b'chol yom, that's completely mutter. So that we're not talking about. More parv than going to the casino or the slots place is buying a lottery ticket. Much more commonplace. You could buy it in the drugstore and the gas station and, you know, just any ordinary place. You don't have to be a bad hangout. And what does it cost? $1, so what big deal? So Baruch Hashem, we're in a Chasdei Hashem in a such affluence that $1 doesn't count. And therefore a person, okay, I'll bid $1, what's the big deal? And then who knows? Maybe I'll strike it rich. You know, the big signs over there on the highway, the billboards, 30 million, 50 million, 100 million, you know, it really gets you. And someone therefore gets his come to this moment to get his pumping up, and he says, okay, I'll buy myself a lottery ticket. Vasa Shlecht is a good yid, an Erlich yid, or a Russia, a Gazlan, Divrayim, Puzzle Eidos. We have to start asking before I call up Buchubud for Eidos, do you ever buy a lottery ticket? Okay, maybe you'll do it instead. Do I have to check that out before I call my Eidos to my next customer? That's really the Shaila. And the Shaila over here is going to be two-pronged Shaila. One is for those unfortunate Jews like us that live in Chutz Laretz. And one of those for those lucky Jews that live Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. A huge difference between them. One is that you're betting against Yidden, or we're betting against Goyim. The Ruba of those that are participating in the Maryland State or Pennsylvania State lottery are non-Jews. There are some, but Ruba certainly is overwhelmingly non-Jews. While in Eretz Yisrael, the Michfal Hapayas, as it's called over there, is overwhelmingly the robe is Yidden. Arabs buy it too, fine. You could probably buy it online, I imagine,
you're
also.
Not really betting against the house. You're betting against the house.
Good question. Who are you really betting against? Now, the truth is, you're betting against the house, or you're betting against the state of Israel or the state of Maryland, and they're going to have to pay you. But the money that they have in their account for lotteries is the money that yesterday's losers lost.
So they already stole that.
What?
They already stole that.
So if I'm getting stolen money, you know, you're not allowed to even buy from a Gaza because you're Mati de Obri Avera. And I'm getting stolen money, so am I allowed to do that?
So till now, when the government was giving money to Maestas, so it was blowing the fruits of Tzedakah. Till now, the government was giving money to Maestas, so at least partially it was going to Tzedakah.
It was for education.
I have no idea what it goes for. Or by the Prime Minister his limousine. Well, you're there. You know, there's a mice, I don't want to get too sidetracked.
They have community centers, Mifal Hapayas, they community buildings where they youth get together.
Yeah.
I presume, since it's called that, it came from the Pious.
Yeah. It was part of the idea was to authorize the legislation, there will be some provision that a certain percentage of the money has to go toward, right. It has to be funneled back into the communities.
Okay.
It's one of the ways they get it passed.
To make it more
attractive to people that you're not legalizing gambling. Is some sort of positive is going to come out.
Uh-huh.
You're talking there too strong.
In general, that's the way they. Like, what do you think with the casinos here, right? So they have all this money now. It's going to go be put back into the community somehow, right? So that's in order to sweeten the pot for people who are opposed to it.
Uh-huh.
It's like regular.
I have a problem with the structure called a bet. If all of us here put in $1, okay, I'm not betting against Rabbi Dreyfus. We're just putting in $1. We know one of us will win the raffle or the lottery.
Well, let's say we just have 10 people, and we spin the wheel over here between the 10 of us.
We all could lose, and the house could take all $10. In Atlantic City, not everybody's guaranteed to be a winner.
Okay.
I've never been there.
In a lottery, there is guaranteed to be a winner.
In the lottery, right.
Because even though it wins this week, then they'll win it next week.
The transfer.
Right, the money has to go to a winner in the end.
So what we're saying here, the question now is just getting stolen funds? But is it really stolen funds or is it different funds? I mean, how do we know what?
It's a good argument. It's an argument possibly that will be matrit l'chuliyama. I have to tell you, Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal has a lengthy tshuva on this Mifal HaPayas, and he confronts that and does not accept it. And the argument why he does not accept it is not a simple matter. It's arguable.
What about casinos? There shouldn't be the same thing?
I don't know too much about casinos. You tell me about them.
Well, the casinos, you're betting against the casino. You're not betting against. I mean,
and over there, everyone over here could lose, and they could, but the jackpot could just disappear.
Yeah.
Let's say it wouldn't be like that. Let's say it's a game that's guaranteed that one of us.
They have certain guaranteed payouts because it's all regulated. So they have to pay out a certain amount, and let's say 90% of what they take in.
No, but in a particular game. If I'm going out tonight, I'm going to spend whatever it is and play X amount of games.
You can call the War on Bandits, and whoever you can win or lose, and you probably lose, and you probably end up poorer than you started.
I understand, but out of the. am I playing against a finite group of people?
You could be, but it's different games. That's also part of it. It's different games.
Before everything got digitized, didn't you have 20 people standing around and spinning a wheel like that or throwing rocks?
It's a different game. I don't know how different games were. I know
that game also, not guaranteed a person to win that.
Right. Nobody takes the number.
You don't keep on going until someone wins? That's what you do when I play.
There's different types of games. There's games where you play against other people. There's games where you play against the hats.
Okay.
But many games you're playing, you can just play against the hats. So
if I play against the house, then the money is already in the house. However they got that's their business. Okay. And then I'm now there paying me the money. Let's think about that for a second. So they're betting that I'm going to lose this game. Here I go, and I win this game. So now I'm getting money from them that they didn't want to give me.
They're
still
betting,
a smarter.
They're betting somehow.
I'm betting against the house. So the house right now is betting, right, that I'm going to lose.
But it's all, it's not just you.
But there's 25 or 2,500 people, it doesn't matter. Each one of us, the house, if it ends up paying, whoever.
But they don't mind paying you because that's how the.
I know they don't mind, but it's still giving up money that they were hoping not to give up.
They know really they're going to give away 90%. They're going to keep 100%.
It's not really true. They know the game, any game, for example, let's say a specific game like blackjack. So that game, they know that they have a 51% chance of winning. So as long as they do plenty of games, they're always going to end up that amount percent, whatever the exact number.
They're not worried about losing at the end of the day.
So it makes no difference because the math will always play out as long as the volume. They just need the volume. They're not hoping. They're not dreaming.
There are probably times in which they win more and lose less. There are probably times that they lose less.
Variation.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're part of that. You're part of the business model.
They don't have to root. It's math.
It's not like one person who's going to enter a bet and he's going to be upset about it after. This is their business.
It's no different than
paying out.
It's no different than Prudential life insurance company. They're going to want
to. Yeah, the insurance company has just legalized gambling also. Yeah. The insurance agents here. They're betting that you're not going to have a fire. Or an accident, or whatever. And when you buy insurance, you're betting that you're going to have all kinds of those tragic events. It's a very strange system. And we hope that they win.
We could say the same thing by the lottery.
So if we look at that as being the house, and the house is perfectly happy to do it, I can even add an argument why they're happy to do it. Not because their actuarial formula allow for it, but it's also that the only way they entice people to come and waste their money is because last night we paid $1 million to one person.
Good advertising.
Right. That's the attraction. That's the bait. So every time they make a payout, they're baiting another 1,000 people to come in and lose their money. But if they wouldn't make a payout, they would go out of business. So that's part of their business expenses that they need to do is to make those payouts. So they don't object to it because that's the bait to get the next. You don't mind putting bait into a trap in order to catch something, right? That way I got a bigger.
It's advertising. It's advertising.
It really depends on who you're betting against.
So if I'm betting, say. I have to tell you the way he looks at it, which I don't understand it, or maybe in his days Israel worked different, I don't know. But he understands it. As being a big pot where the lottery agency is the manager of that until all the dust settles and the payout is made and then the proceeds they take and they give over to whatever they give it over to where it's supposed to go to. For the meantime, there's a big pot, and therefore you're ending up taking the other people's monies. That's what he's looking at on a simplistic type of a betting arrangement.
The latter, isn't that what it is?
But instead, haven't they already committed their money to it? That's what I understand.
You see, what happens if they have a $1 million lottery this week?
And no one wins.
And no one wins. It goes, because next year, next week, it'll be $2 million. It just keeps going up. Just the opposite. What happens if this week someone does win, and only 900,000 people bought tickets this week instead of over $1 million? Sometimes they have losing weeks.
Sometimes they lose money.
Right? So they still have to pay me the $1 million. So it means I'm not getting my $1 million, the winner, from those 999,999 losers. Whether they exist, whether they don't exist, the state of Maryland has to pay me. Now, where did they get their money? From their last 10 wins. But that's just what's filling up their account. So even if it's stolen money, then, you know, I'm not getting it from the loser. I'm getting it from someone that already forfeited it. Let me just think for a second. If you would say that that loser never was mocked at it, and therefore he has stolen money, and he's giving me his stolen money, so am I allowed to take money from a Gosling? I can't take money from a Gosling. I'm taking stolen money. So in as much as I have to view the lottery as being a gzela, on a Rabbanadika level, on that level, if the loser didn't really give over his money with Leiv Shalem to the winner, to the pot, to the house, so the house now has a pot full of gazelta money. So the Lacha of the Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, the ninth parak, that you're not allowed to take change from a Goslin or from a Meiches that takes more than what he's legally allowed to take, and someone that we assume that he's full of, his pockets are full of Gezel, you're not allowed to go and change for that, even though now he already has that money. But you can't take a Gezel to money. So that's why he's bothered by this. That in as much as a Smach Lokani, if you hold like that Shita, which we haven't gotten to really explore, but if you hold like that, then the whole pot is treif. And I'm never taking treif a Gelt, when I eventually win, although it's gone through the funnel. Now, if you would actually have, in a physical, tangible sense, all the dollar bills of those 10 million people that put them into the big pot, and then they take all that big bags full of money, put it into a Brinks truck, and drop it off in my living room, that's gazelt of money.
It's
not like gazelt of money. Mirabon. Gazelt of Rehem. But when I take gazelt of Rehem,
so taking that money is not
gezel.
It's maybe bad, but it's not.
So that's a good argument, because even if a person does do gezel mitir rei, we just learned the Rambam says he's not chayav to in a shava, which means the money is not treif, it's not kodesh. But the person himself that did gezel mitir rei, the mafricha yodim, now has a coop full of pigeons, right? Now he comes and does tshuva and says, Rabbi, what do I have to do? Should I have to send all those birds home? We say, no, you don't have to. Just don't do it anymore. Right? Apologize to those people that you stole from them, but you don't have to pay them back, because it wasn't really theirs. So then if I take those yonim that aren't really stolen, just I shouldn't do it, it's an isra on the gavra. It's an isra on my hanhaga, which was wrong. But the item itself was really not considered to be a davar gozel, then I could sell that, and I could make a kaddish with that, and maybe I could even use it as a karba. I don't know. Gezel Baila. So if we're going to say like that, I'm jumping out of order. Again, we said there's a big difference between Maryland State and Israel State, right? In Maryland State, the Rambam says, we didn't even get to read one piece. Let's read one piece of Rambam. First paragraph, okay? Let's at least read the beginning. I'm going to have to organize this and do it better next week. The first paragraph of the Rambam. Dvarim harbi yasru chachamim mishum gezel v'over alayim harizei gazel v'dereyim. Go mafrichi yom masachem v'kuvya. Mafrichi yom ketzad, we talked about that. Masachem v'yom ketzad, elu ha-masachem b'eitzim v'mitzrevers v'batzom, most different kinds of dice or chips or games. Ketzad b'hem v'ozen tanayim v'neim make a condition, an agreement between them beforehand, shekola notzeich as chaveray v'osa as chag. Whoever wins this game that they're playing against each other, yikach ma'amimenu, kach, then he has to pay in a certain amount, or you take from the money and give it to the other guy. Or is a gezel mitir rei. Even though he took it with permission, I didn't go and hold him up against it and force him. He put it in there and he said, okay, I lost, you take it. But instead of saying it the way Rashi said it, I said before him, because he doesn't really give up a Gemir's Das, the Rambam says a little bit differently. He took it for nothing, in no way did he deserve it. It's not like I sold him something, gave him some services, any kind of consideration. He just took it for silliness, for just winning a game which doesn't entitle you, which is because your horse would be in fair, therefore why she would be entitled to it. Derech schok vehitol, just because it's a way of entertainment and playing and fooling around, wasting your time. Hareze gezel, therefore we're going to consider that to be gezel. In other words, money that you own should be money that you earned. I worked for you, or I sold you an item, I did something of value, just, you know, giving you a good advice. Legal advice, medical advice, or just a good friendly advice is a service. But if I'm not giving you anything at all and getting money for free is bordering on gezel. Not gezel. That's where the Rambam seems to sense it over here. That we in the Aser is not because of a smachta lokanya per se, but it's because you shouldn't take something that's not yours.
I'm giving you the excitement of assuming a risk.
Entertainment.
You might lose your dollar, you might get my dollar. That's exciting. That's why they do it.
Schleik vehittel itself is nishke godezach. He's going to speak more directly about that in a moment. V'chein b'sachem b'behemo b'chayav v'ovos v'osam t'nai shekol sh'natzeach b'hemtoi otoros yaser. Either one fights against the other one and wins over the other one, or it runs faster and wins a race. Yichom v'er kach v'kach, a horse race. V'chok yoyz v'dvar melu. Hakol aser. That is how Rama paskins it, saying that Mirabana we made this into gezel, and therefore it's aser. However, since this is only aser as gezel midirayim midrabanan, it doesn't actually constitute genuine gezel. If you do this with a goy, ain bo iser gezel. Then you don't have all these issues if you play in the Maryland State Lottery or the Atlantic City scene. Because it's not a Maisa Gezel. As long as you're playing against Goyim, then a Dinam Drabana, a Gezel Drabrahim, we only make with Yisrael, and with Goyim, we don't make it. Especially because in this particular case, it's legal. And you're allowed to deal with a Goy always on the level of his own Dinahim, and their Din says it's Mutter, it's not considered to be Gezel against them. But even when it's illegal, it's not because it's gezel, it's because it's a vice that the society doesn't tolerate, and in some places it does. But it's a bit of, in Dinehem, it's not considered maisa gezel. But that's the cloud, the gezel divrayim, we only made it between you, Bein Yisrael, and Chaveh, right? And therefore, Mosachak Bukuvya against Goyim, Embo is a gezel. And that'll be a huge difference between the Mifal Pious in Israel and the Maryland State Lottery in America. One is that where you're playing against Yin, and one that you're playing against Goyim. Aber yesh bo iser, the Rambam says, even beyond the considerations of Gezel, which doesn't apply by the case of Kuvyot Magoy, but still, yesh bo iser of Isaac b'dvar matelim. It's still a wasting of your life and of your time and of your energies and your finances. She'ein royli adam she'yasa kol yom el v'divrei chachma uvi yeshuva shel olam. You should be doing something constructive, whether it be a chachma of Torah, or the Havdo Chachma Sumas of the Bria of a Kodesh Baruch Hu made sciences and such, or Yeshua Shalom doing something constructive, doing something, you know, home repairs, mowing your lawn, so doing groceries. What?
What's the issue?
It's a bizbuz, a waste of the most precious commodity Kodesh Baruch Hu give up, which is our life, right? So that is.
Mavatel's mind.
This sort of assumes that a person who's gambling is doing a kol yom.
Ain roi liyado. Yesh bo iser oisei bedvar matelam. If it's for a man, so there's iser of bilatera. The Bajamal the Midvar Matalam. So if you say I need to relax and do something, okay, do something that makes that's a worthwhile activity. But to do something that this is a I use again the Rabbi's words, davar mechubar, mesul, meshukatz, urav mechalom, mehapil, etc. That's not the way you should relax and get yourself in a better state to be able to do more good things. It doesn't usually build a person up to be a better person. So the Rambam's saying, and that, I don't know. I don't know whether the Rambam means if you're doing this as a primary part of your life or just doing it once in a while, whether that's, Rambam would say that as well.
The
Ravid comments, that's right, Rizer. Yum ein lo umnitz ella hu, if this is his full-time occupation, I feel imagoyas posle eidus hu, first of all, we haven't seen the sugya yet, but there's the Mishnah says when it's Ein lo umnitz ella hu, this all he does, Ein lo b'shuva shel olam, then he's posle le'edus, and that's something wrong itself. And the Rav is adding at the end, that's not through the gezel aspect of it, and therefore that's a, you know, even in with dealing with goyim in chutz la'aretz, and it's even worse dealing with goyim. You get part of that whole the social group, and you get influenced by them, and it's not a place that there's a lot of Yerushalayim. So it's not a good place to hang out, and therefore it's even worse with it with Goyim. That's the Rav's comment. But before we get to that issue, the point he said beforehand, we're talking over here, when the Rambam says he's not puzzled, then he was talking about that it's not that he's a full-time gambler, just once in a while. But I don't know whether how infrequent the Rambam is still including it. Any time ever do this? Or if it's just a regular kind of a pastime that a person does, that he says that it's a Isib B'dvar Matelim, it's in Roy the Autumn to do such a thing.
Basically, read the words Shein Roy the Autumn Shiasu Koyama. Is that going back, is that reflecting back on this person, or is
I think it's meaning that your entire lifetime, right, throughout your entire lifetime, you should not be have Asik of Dvaram Batalim, you should be Asik of Divrei Chachma, and Yishuv Shalom, that's what you should fill your entire life. Which means that this doesn't fit into a Yiddish life at all. Now, this Rambam says that the reason that the Isser is because there's with another Yid, is because of a Gezel, Midrabanan, and that's the difference between Yid and a Goy, because that didn't Gezel doesn't apply by the Goy. Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Perek Yod, which is the next paragraph, says that it's only possibly Eidos when it's Ein lo umnitz ella hu. That's the only thing that he does full time. But even with the Yidin, if he does it once in a while, or if he has another parnasa and he just goes gambles every night, but he has a parnasa that he does or something constructive he does every day of his life, then it's not posel liedus. So that seems to be in conflict with this Rambam over here. And just to end off right for tonight, we're going to have to talk about this more later next week, is that the Rambam is going to hold that although it's a gezel, but people don't understand it to be gezel. And if people don't understand it to be wrong, they think, well, the other guy agreed to it, so he wants to gamble, and I want to gamble too, so that's the way it rules, and there's nothing wrong with it. So then you can't make him possible for Eidos Afilu Midrabanan. Just like a chamson, if a person forces a sale and gives you a proper price for payment, it's over lo sachmoid, and it's asa b'raisa. But it's not possible to Eidos or possible Shua because lo sachmud below dami mashul inshi, the Gemara Begin Bamasiya says, people think it's only us if you don't pay. So although they're wrong, and it's us if you do pay, but if people think that this is mutter and therefore they don't view this as being doing an Aveira, then they're not possible Eidos because they're not knowingly doing something wrong. So likewise over here, they don't view this as being something so really bad. And therefore, it's not going to be possible Eidos unless it's Elo, Asik, Elohu, and then the Rambam brings in the Gezel again. We have to learn that more carefully. But this is the Rambam Shita, that there is an Isser Gezel of it. We'll see it. That's the Machlokes Rishonim on it. Machlokes of Paiskim, and we'll never have to bring down Halacha L'maisa. So we're going to have to conclude this Be'ez Hashem next week. If you're just taking a look in advance, in Yubiya Omer, Chelek Zion, Chayshim Mishpat, Sunavav, he has a lengthy tshuva on the subject.